بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. مضارع فعل. Every Nabi engaged in Dawat from the time of Nuh alayhi salam right until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The common feature in every Nabi was Dawat. Generally, the Quran Sharif doesn't speak about the time of Adam alayhi salam, and the reason is kana an-nasu ummatan wahida. In the time of Adam alayhi salam, people were on one line. There was no shirk at the time. So when there was no shirk, so there wasn't that level of need as from the time of Nuh alayhi salam. So the shirk had started off. When the shirk and polytheism had started off, so now there was a need for Dawat. Now, Dawat towards what? Invitation, right? Dawat translates as invitation. So, Dawat, an invitation towards what? So, the content of the invitation and the Dawat would be the Quran and the Hadith. That is the Dawat, inviting towards what? Towards the Quran and Hadith. But when we will speak about it, when the Quran Sharif speaks about it, then it speaks about it in sometimes in different words. يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, for example. أُدْعُوا إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. So some place دَعْوَةِ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Some place إِلَى سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. So someone, in some place, da'wat ila Allah, some place, da'wat ila al-khayr, da'wat ila sabili rabbik. So these are the different words that have been used. But the essence is one and the same, that we're inviting them towards Quran and the Hadith. So when you talk about the Quran and the Hadith, then it's something very comprehensive, something very great. That is, every dimension, every facet of life has to be perfect, has to be complete. Then you will find that people accomplish this in different ways, because the complete deen has to come in. And to bring in the complete deen, then one group will not be able to do it. Because it's complete, perfect deen. And when it's complete deen, one group can't do it. Like we'll get Tabligh Jamaat, and they will emphasize more on the 6 points, right? That will be their focus, that will be what they will be speaking about. You will not find them speaking about matters pertaining to winding of estates, for example, or marital problems, they will not discuss it. So they understood now that they can work, and that is the ambit of their work, ambit of their operation, they can work to this point. So the type of people that they're going to work with, and amount of people, one is the type and the volume of people that they're going to be working with, they won't manage it. Right? When they won't manage it, they will invite them towards the broader principles. For example, they say ilm and zikr. And in ilm and zikr, they will talk about the virtue of ilm, but they will also impress upon you the importance of referring to the ulama. Any small thing, you're not clear, not sure, then don't do it yourself, don't take the step yourself, you refer. And if you are not going to do it, and it's likely that you will fall into a haram, and you will remain in that haram for years, and then only you will discover, oh, I've been doing this wrong. And years have passed, and I've been doing this wrong. Now I have to cover all the qazas of the past. For example, he didn't know about some aspects pertaining to urine or aspects pertaining to money, for example, right? he didn't know about it, and he'd been performing namaz all the time in the same manner. Then someone brought it to his attention, "Bhai, you had that, you're supposed to be taking a compulsory bath before you get onto the musalla. I didn't know about it." But now, see the problem that he's brought. So they will instruct the person correctly, say, "Bhai, any small thing, then you refer to ulama." Because they understand the ambit of the operation and the type of people that they have got. Everybody is not in a position of issuing a fatwa. Every person is not in a position of giving guidance. For example, it's a marital problem now. So everybody is not in that position. So when everybody is not in the position, then there will be someone that is cut out for this. When there is someone that is cut out for him for that, then he will lead him to that. So that means every group did da'wat. He did it in one way, this group did it in another way, the third group did it in the other way. Because as I say, the da'wat is the complete deen. And the complete deen, one single group can't do it. And this, then if you look, you trace the aslaf, the tabi'een, and the style was the same. So you'll find a group engaged in fiqh. So night and day, it's just fiqh. They will have an understanding of hadith, but the focus of operation is hadith. They'll know the masails of other aspects, but the focus of operation is qiraat, for example. Right. So they will learn it and they will pass it. They will learn it and they will pass it. Right. But they understand that we can't do it complete. We can't do the whole thing. When we can't do the whole thing, then what's the right thing? What's within our ambit? What's within our capacity? Let's take that on and complete this level in the ummah. This level will complete it. Right? It'll be a blessed organization. It'll be an organization that is very, very blessed, that every activity is taking place from there. If there is qiraat, then there is hadith, then there is iftar, then there is fiqh, for example, and then there are jamaats that are living out. So everything is happening from one roof. So it will be really a blessed organization that everything is taking place from one group. Right. Sometimes the circumstances demand that there must be more emphasis on one work than the other. Like for example, when we were young, around 1962-63, so you won't find a single person wearing a kurta or a topi. Besides perhaps the munshi sahab that was teaching at the madrasa or leading the namaz. At that time it was mostly munshis that used to be leading the namaz or teaching at the madrasa. Most of them used to be wearing shirts and pants, but they will have a topi at least. That was the only Islamic identity. So now, at that time, what was the need? The need at that time, the 62, 63, the need at that time was to make people realize the identity. I can still remember that people used to have that iron combs, and there was a style at the time. Iron comb. And they used to put it into their back pocket. They'll come out of the masjid, they look for a window, they can see everything, alright. To the hairstyle, right? Everything is right. Again, it's the back pocket, topi is out. And it was like normal, whether it was a pious person or an impious person, that was absolutely normal. Nobody considered it as a wrong thing. So now, at that time, the Tabligh Jamaat had come in and conscientized people. Islamic identity, Islamic dress. Yeah. Musa Samrodi, he was explaining when he spoke to some ulama that he has some relationship, South African, in that summer, 1960s or late 1950. So they told him bluntly, you know, you can't bring that level here where they're going to sit on the floors and they're going to wear kurtas or they're going to be wearing lungis and running around. You can't bring that level here. They were telling him. And he impressed upon them, inshallah, that day will come. Wo din bhi aayega. And those ulama said, hey, I'm seeing this jamaat coming up with the chadar, say the city of the Dastarkhan, somebody is running around with a lungi, with a kurta. Exactly what you say, this is happening. What was a dream, what was just a guess and imagination, we see it with our own eyes. So there was a need for people to identify. See? And this is a blessing that is unique with this ummah, that the wrong will not continue. لا يزال طائفة من أمتي قائمين على الحق. There will be a group that will be firm on the truth. When anything is going off, they'll bring it up again. It's going off, they'll bring it onto the line again. Right? When it was derailed, they'll bring it onto the rail. That was, now this is only an assurance and a guarantee with this ummah. The previous ummah, because the guarantee had expired, they derailed, they kept on moving. Out and completely out. Out and absolutely out, right? Now look at a religion, a complete Islam against Christianity, right? Christianity, I heard from two pastors directly, right? They say it's a license to do wrong. So, what is the whole teaching of Christianity? To do wrong. You've got the license, you've got the permission to do the wrong of your choice. Whatever wrong you feel like doing, you can do it. So, you come into Christianity, you got the license to do wrong. Now, this is a blessing, I say, exclusive with Islam, that as the ummah is going off, there is someone to bring it right. As the ummah is going off, and the ummah is coming right, it's coming back onto the rail. Now, the procedures of da'wat, procedures, the etiquettes of da'wat. ودعوا إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن. See, showing you, Allah is showing you how you should speak politely, etc., etc., right? Now, the question that goes into the mind, if you're going to be polite, you're going to be patient, any type of da'wat, that da'wat, I told you, da'wat would refer to everything, right? So that means that Mulana that is teaching in the madrasa, he needs to be polite as well. You can't say now that politeness will only refer to the time that you're going out for 4 months or 1 year. At the time that you are in the madrasa, you're teaching, there you need to show your politeness. People misconstrue, right? And they say, no, you know, olden days, they should say, Gosht tumara or haddi hamara. The flesh is yours, the bones are ours. It's not a masla, that. It's haram, in fact. To say such a thing is haram. How can you say that the flesh is yours? Allama Shami has got it in his kitab that the right thing is that they shouldn't be meeting out corporal punishment. It's the right thing. But if there was an extreme case, then not more than three. And that three also must be measured and calculated. You can't be hitting it randomly however you want. Measured and calculated. Now when you see all that guidance was in aid of not chasing that person away from deen. وَلَا تُنَفِّرَ وَلَا تُنَفِّرَ. Don't chase him away. Now if you're going to say that this is exclusive with da'wat and tabligh, then I ask you, won't we be chasing people away from ta'lim? Won't we be chasing people from learning the Quran Sharif correctly, the Hadith Sharif correctly, Islamic etiquettes and adab correctly? Won't we be chasing them away? Won't we be guilty of a sin? So this wrong comes about when we feel that it's exclusive to this branch and it's not applicable to the other branches. Like it's applicable to this, it's applicable to this as well. Like it is a need to create an enthusiasm, to make people enthusiastic, to create a yearning and a learning, right? Then it is equally important that they have a yearning and a liking for other branches of deen, other obligations. Quran Sharif is an obligation, the recitation, the meaning, the understanding, fiqh, etc. These are all obligations. If this is an obligation, then this is an obligation. If you need to be polite and sweet and respectable here, then you need to apply the same type of sweetness in other branches. Now conveniently we say, no, yeah, the flesh is yours, and the bones are ours. It's wrong, it's misleading. And I say it's a guna to say that. Because if you hurt someone, then you're going to be sinful for that. You cannot say, no, I was worked up, and you know, when I was worked up and I beat that person, and I'm justified for what I've done. Can't say, you can't use that as an excuse. Right? It may have been that the people in the past, they were more tolerant, and they took it in a stride. But you cannot rule it off that this type of a treatment chases people away from him. Now, when you see the right candidate, then how careful are we supposed to be to invite the person, attract the person? Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali is a student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. Now, when he comes in, and a few days pass, so Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali's mother is complaining, you know, that I am a widow and I had just this one son. I am battling, struggling to make ends meet, and this Imam Sahib, he hijacked my son. I'm telling you my own words, right? He hijacked my son. Now how is this house going to run? In the meanwhile, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali heard about what has happened. So he sent her a fair allowance through the son. He sent her a fair allowance and gave her the assurance, don't worry, before this amount can be exhausted, you will get a replacement. We will fill you up again. Imam Sahib saw the potential in the man. He saw the potential. He saw the goodness in the person, that he will be able to take the word forward. So he invested in him. And then he showed his worth. He became the Qazi al-Quzat, the best, the lead of all the Qazis at the time. Up till now, I hear, in many of the Islamic courts, the principles and the concept that they use is what they attain, what they obtain from Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali. In fact, the English courts, they found the need to translate the whole Hidayah. Hamilton translated the whole thing, and a lot of the Islamic law they have incorporated into the Roman Dutch law. But just that, it was the style of the English that they will not attribute things to where it's supposed to be attributed. But if you go and find out, alright, you go and see research where they got it from us. Now, Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah saw the potential in this man here, that this is the potential, and then I need to work on this person. Now, he's got a problem. If I'm not going to invest in him, then what's going to happen? He'll take up some job, all his potential will be lost, and the ummah will be deprived. Now, I'll work on this one person here, and the ummah will benefit so largely. So how to attract that person? This is from different fronts, different ways, and different mannerisms, but the idea is to attract the person, bring him on. Right? That is why, when Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah had seen what was going on, right, in people today, so he says the greatest jihad, right? Every youngster is enthusiastic, knew about jihad, and they become very much enthusiastic. But he says, what is the greatest jihad of this age? So he's seen the time, an experienced person, very mature person, muttaqi and parizgar, right? And he's got so much of knowledge. With all this experience, he's seeing what's going on. So he's relating. He didn't run away from the reality. He took on this reality, and then he said, the greatest jihad in this day, after investigating and seeing everything around him, what was going on, now he comes to the conclusion that the greatest jihad is be-talabo ke andar talab paida karna. To create that yearning in the heart of the mind that doesn't have any yearning, no yearning at all, everything is busting him. Everything has just collapsed. There's no yearning to do good. Ask him to perform namaz, there's no motivation. Ask him to go for hajj, there's no drive for that, right? Ask him to pay zakat, I can't pay it, I can't afford it, right? Ask him to come a little bit earlier to the masjid and recite the Quran Sharif, there's no drive for that. Now when he saw that there was no drive, so he understood at this age, this was the most important thing, to create the drive in the person. But now, Deen Allah Pak has kept it such, it's like a business. See, the styles and the operations may change. The styles may change. The approaches may change from time to time. at one time using one approach, and another time using another approach, right? All within the sunnah, but the approach has just been changed to suit the time, right? Right. So we're living in an age, when we live in this age, we'll need to see what is the changes that are taking place, how people's reactions are, right? How they're responding. Now, in all this, now, you know, within all this, now, we need to understand, all right, it's something that we are marketing. What we are marketing is Islam. And how do we market this? Under the circumstance, how do we market it? So the da'i's mind is not limited, not constrained. For a moment now, don't confine your mind to the tabligh jamaat. The reason is that tabligh jamaat, you have asked them to do work in a certain way. Why they have asked them to work in a certain way? So there must be some uniformity throughout the world. If there's not going to be uniformity, then there could be problems. They'll lay out some usul, some principles, and they will ask everybody to conform to the same principle. So if they're not going to keep to that principle, then there's going to be some problem. They understood now how it works, and you've got different classes, different races, different languages, all coming onto one path. And if some person shifts away of his own, he's doing his own thing, there could be problems. No matter how sincere he's going to be, but there could be problems. One person, some few years back, he went to America, right? Jamaat, for 4 months or something. So he said, Mora, make Toba, make dua for me, you know, what happens? You know, I went, and he went some years ago. At the time, the Jamaat work was still taking on. So he saw how was the lifestyle, etc. And he felt very hurt. What's going on? No namaz, no parda, absolutely nothing. So he didn't tell the Amir anything. He said, I'm going for Gush. The Amir told him, no. See, this is a usul. This is how you go after Maghrib or after Asr, whichever the time. You will have at least about 4 or 5 people that you'll go. This is how you'll visit. Now he was getting too worked up. Why must I keep myself confined to this? Why must I keep myself restricted to this? Now he went on of his own. When he went on of his own, now he went to one house, the second house, he struck a relationship with some girl. That thing went deeper and deeper and deeper. Now that girl, after that, she came to salute him at the airport. Yusuf, how are you? Are you going? Come back. See, now they kept an usul. Why did they keep the usul? That they understand they are working with all classes, all types of people. When they are working with all types of people, then they need to have a uniformity. And the need of the uniformity is that so that they don't get into trouble, dini-wise or dunya-wise. You're not bypassing the system and the law, and not bypassing Islam also. Both, you're keeping this and you're keeping this. Not that to listen to the law is compulsory and obligation, but you have to work in different lands, different circumstances, different consequences, right? Different circumstances you have to work in. When you have to work in different circumstances, then you mustn't get into problems. Now they'll give you one usul, for example. That if you're going into an area, I'm just showing you now why they got these usuls. You know, usul is not God-made, it's man-made. You can break it, it's alright. But I show you the importance of it. Right? And why they brought it up. Say you got going into an area. When you get into that area, you don't interfere with the light system, with the mic system, or with the adhan. You don't interfere with this thing here. Now if you go like a bright thing into an area, I want to give adhan. I've got a very good, powerful voice. I'll get all the sawah for these old people here making adhan. Muslim comes in, who asked you, who gave you permission? Now you came here to do dawat or to chase people. Now the Muslim got chased away from you. Hey, these people come in, they rob me of the azan. They saw the crowd, and when they saw the crowd, they wanted to give the azan so they can impress the crowd. So he robbed me of my blessing. So you already got a fight with the Muslim. Now you start interfering with the fan, for example. Who asked you to play with the fan, with the lights? So say, no, don't interfere with the lights, with the electricity. Don't you take the adhan. You don't do this thing here. local people, how they are doing it, just let them run. And you will not say that this is in the Quran or this is in the Hadith. But why do they ask you to conform to the usul? If you come for a work, when you come for the work, then do it correctly, do it properly, without any interference. Don't bypass the law, don't bypass the Sharia. Both you need to have. You can coexist. You're working in America, you could exist there. You're working in Australia, you could exist. In Europe, in Africa, wherever, the same principle, the same uniformity is allowing you to exist in any place that you are going. So you see the reason that they ask you to do this, to conform, so that you save deeni-wise, you save legal-wise. Both ways, you have covered yourself. The idea is to be able to do the work. If you're not going to conform, then you can't do the work. You'll get stuck at some point or the other. You may say 101 times that this is permissible, but then the work will get stuck because of your non-conformity. Now, these people have seen the whole operation. For example, they got an usul about the woman's work, right? So, in the woman's work, they say, no, there mustn't be any phones and no taping. No taping of any bayan, right? Now, can you say it's haram? Can't say it's haram. Now, they are asking you that there should be no taping of any bayans, right? No taping, etc. Because they can see the wrong that can come up. Alright, one person, he knew about his parameters, he knew about the law, and he's just his daughter that he would allow to listen to the bayan. Nobody else, no third person. But everybody will behave the same. Now it's a young girl that's giving a bayan, for example, or reading from a kitab, and you got it at the dinner table, and it's a young boy. He says, hey, but this is a very cute voice, man. Very smart voice. Doesn't he get attracted? He says, no, don't you tape. So this principle that they have cooperated, it is for the convenience of the work, for the beauty of the work. They know why they have incorporated these principles. So you want to conform to this work, then you need to incorporate these principles as well, so that you can exist in the area that you are going. So the Quran Sharif says, "Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikma." Invite them with wisdom. What do you mean by wisdom? Al kalamu sawab, al waqi'u ala nafs ajmal mawqa'in. You're saying the right thing. Right thing, right time, opportunity, circumstance, person, everything you've seen. You've seen the person, you've seen the opportunity, you've seen the circumstance you are in, the type of person, what level of commitment he's got. You've seen all these things. After seeing all this, then you presented it before him. You didn't just present something without thinking, without understanding, without... Now, these people here have gone through the whole exercise. Al-Mu'allim Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, are starting off. And when they corrected themselves, then they understood that these are the problems that others can also make. But for the benefit of the ta'lim, for the benefit of the work, they would show their own weaknesses. So, a youngster came in, and Ma thought to himself that this youngster is coming quite regularly, but he doesn't have a beard. He's coming now, I see that there is some type of an affinity, and he doesn't have a beard. So Ma just did this, indicated towards the chin, right? That person, usne to aana hi chhod diya. He left coming. Now Ma says, kasoor mera hai. It's my mistake. See now, what he's got in mind? He's got the work in mind, the masliyat, the benefit, the advantage of the work. So he'll show you his own mistakes, so that the person that is on this path here, he doesn't make a mistake, he doesn't trip. So he says then, kachye tawe ke upar maine aata rakh diya. The tawa is still cold, right? Where they make that roti, it's called tawa, right? The tawa was cold, and on that cold tawa I kept the atta. It's wasted effort. So he's telling you indirectly, the mistake I have made, you don't make this mistake. You don't take the jump. Now, the person came in Jamaat, and straight away said, hey, you know, you're doing insurance, haram. You're doing interesting financing, don't do that. Now, what will happen to that person? His commitment is still small. He's taking small steps. Slowly he's coming in. And then he'll take the big steps. But now, before he can learn to take the small step, before he can learn to crawl, you show him how to jump. Is that right? Is that correct? That is why Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he says, Kunu ulama fuqaha rabbaniyin. So become Allah wala ulama. Ulama, but Allah wala. But with understanding, with depth. Not just, you're just not presenting it just like that, no. You're doing it with understanding. Alright, how must I present it? How must I say it to him? The idea is not just to get it off my head. See, the idea is not to just get it off my head. Al-waqi'u ala nafsi ajmala mawqain. It's penetrating into his heart. Qulu lahum qawlan baligha. He seems to be relating. What you're talking to him, it's impressing him. He seems to be relating. Because you have explained it to him in such a beautiful way that it's going, it's penetrating deep into the heart. It's affecting him. Now, in order to affect him, you need to understand how must I explain this to him. Situation, circumstance, how, when, how must I get through the person? So he says, the meaning of this, become ulama, fuqa, etc., is this, that you are... يُعَلَّمُ صِغَارُ الْعُلُومِ قَبْلَ كِبَارِهَا. Then you teach the person small things, small primary things, little small things. Coming to the masjid, coming to the right leg, say Bismillah. Eating, say Bismillah. Right hand, going to toilet, left leg. So you say, Islam is easy, man. Right, left is easy. Not a difficulty. But how easy? Simply you put. But you say, you know, you come a Muslim, you have to keep rozas one whole month, eh? Straight away trying this much. How does he take it? يُعَلَّمُ صِغَارُ الْعُلُومِ قَبْلَ كِبَارِهَا. Small things, small installments. Do this. I say, hey, it's so easy. But now, in the process you are building up a rapport with the person. Small things. You showing him some affinity, some muhabbat. And there's a rapport that is building up. Right? When there's a rapport that's building up, and he is hooked on, he will come and scold you. Hey, Mona, this was wrong. Why did you allow me to do it? I remember an old man came here, black man came here. He said, I would accept Islam and all that and teach me. I said, we don't have the intizam here. We don't have the arrangements here, right? Send him to the Snember farm. Go there, they'll teach you, inshallah. So after a week or so, he scolded them. You know, keeping of the moustache, it mustn't be overlapping the lip. Why didn't you bring it to my attention? All these days I was in guna. And you should have brought it to my attention. Now see, he loved the people. So he began to love deen. Right? When he loved deen now, and he felt now he's being kept backwards. Right? So he began to reprimand them. Right? So now you understand that you are giving something and he's biting, he's taking on. You're giving him and he's taking on. And he wants more and more. Right? You know, it must become like the child. You know? The child, and when it's feeding time, it must be crying. You know? It must be crying such, you know, that you're still breaking the second muscle. The child is crying. Hey, come, what's wrong? Don't you see the child when he's just learning to eat and he's hungry? He can hardly finish the first muscle and he's crying for the next one. So you need to create that thirst in the child. The individual, you need to create that thirst. That hunger in him, that yearning in him. Sigharul ulumi qabla kibariha. Small things, small steps. Before the important step, bigger steps, you teach them the small things. So they digest. Second, they want the second installment, then the third installment. And before they know it, now they're already complete, they're perfect. But you see how gracefully you're going. Gently, gracefully, easily you're going. And he's holding on. So in this whole the process of da'wat, there's not going to be any stagnation. But if we keep moving, don't stop at any spot. That is why now, in Tabligh Jamaat, they got the old workers. It's going to arrive in, right? Old workers, Jor, right? Why? Because they've come after that sacrifice, 30 years, 40 years, they've come to a certain level. So these people that have gone in for 30, 40 years, they also mustn't become stagnated. Now, we want you to continue. But how now? According to the circumstance, halat, etc., then how should you be working now? How should you be operating? You can't be stagnated at any point. You need to keep progressing. So there will be a thing like, as though in our terms you see, as though there is a think tank in Raivind, whatever. There is a think tank that is thinking for the Ummat, alright. This is a problem. That is the problem. This is where they need to be more attentive. This is where they need to correct themselves. This is how they need to correct themselves, right? So they will think for them and they will show them the plan for the future. Now they are taking on that plan and they're moving. And then you see a lot of barakat coming out of it because the Quranic instruction is work with shura. Shawirhum, right? So they're working with shura. These people here may be simple people. But on account of them complying with the command of the Quran, the simple instruction of this is bring out a lot of barakat, a lot of khair. So it works. And you see that da'i, how he needs to be conducting himself. Now you see, every Nabi you see coming in, right? And the responses that he's meeting. One person is saying, Inna lana raka fi dhalalim. You were in an open error, you're mistaken. You were off. Other person is saying, Inna lana raka fi safaha. You're a madman, right? Gandoch. Third person is saying, Innaka la majnoon. You're a madman. You're supposed to be the mad hospital. Now you see the responses they are meeting. One is saying you're completely off. One is saying you're stupid, but no brains. And the third person is saying you're a madman. And the fourth response they are receiving, وَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلَ ذَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. You know your past. We know about it. What you track down. See this. See what's up. And see your clothing, your jeans, and all you're playing around. See you playing around the guitar, around the corner, West Street, you're playing around. So we got you all. فَعَلْتَ فَعَلَ ذَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. So they'll bring all your stories of the past. Now that person that is going to be working for deen, how does he need to carry himself? One is saying you're a madman, one is saying you're stupid, one is saying you've got no brains, one is saying we got all your history. Now how is he supposed to be working? So the da'i, his teacher is the Nabi. His teacher is the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif is teaching him, just avoid this. Don't talk about this. You know, where he's talking about you being mad, he's labeling you. Don't worry about it. Don't answer that. Laysa bi dhalala. All he says, Laysa bi dhalala. I'm not off. And he carries on. He doesn't make it a subject of its own. He doesn't engage with the person. Otherwise, now you can engage with the person and say, no, this is character assassination. And I can sue you for this, you know. How could you talk to me like this? Make a big case about the thing. And here the da'i, he's thought, but just don't pay attention to it. Arid anil jahilin. Just don't pay attention, carry on with your work. Because you're going to worry about this. So many thousands of people, you lose out. He's going to engage you, yeah. You're going to talk to him and he's going to talk to you, right? In the meanwhile, there's opportunity of working. The whole maidan is open here. You've forgotten the maidan, you got stuck onto this person here. Is that business? Is making business sense or not? So forget the person, just briefly, just answer him and carry on. Move on. So to all these people that were labeling you, you just forget them and carry on. Because you got a focus, you got a goal ahead of you. You got a business before you, so you got to work on your business. Leave all these things. Don't worry about this. Which day any person had a control over the tongue? Was there a day that anybody had a control over people's tongues, people's minds? So you don't have a control over it. Don't worry about it. Don't pay attention to it. Right? Musa alayhi salam had complained to Allah Ta'ala. Oh Allah Ta'ala, make it such that people only talk good about me. They don't talk bad about me. Somebody saying madman, what? Fironi saying what? Somebody saying jadugar, somebody saying madman. What were they saying? So Allah Ta'ala closed the chapter for once and for all. He closed it up. And he says to Musa alayhi salam, they haven't spared me. How are they going to spare you? There is a group that speaks out against God also. Don't you find a group? Satan is speaking against God. So the man hasn't spared me. So they're not going to spare you. So forget that. That chapter, just close it, move on. So I say I'm speaking about Dawat, but Dawat refers to all. Whether it's an alim in a madrasa, whether it's a sheikh in a khanqa, everybody, they're going to work like this. You're going to get all these type of responses you're going to get. People are going to be appreciative. People are going to, are not going to be appreciative at all. No appreciation shown. But how are you going to carry on? So you need to continue with your business. So that fourth response, that fourth criticism is quite difficult. Where, see, we got you recorded. In the WhatsApp we got you. In the Facebook we have got you. In the YouTube we have got you. We know you, man. How you are drugging and how you are pulling, you know. Got you all photo, all captured. We got you captured. What are you going to do? They're disgracing you, they're humiliating you. So at that time, it's a lesson of Musa al-Islam. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعَلَتَكَ الَّتِي فَعَلْتُهَا قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَا وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ. Yes, I was in error. When I did this, it was my mistake. So he's not hiding away from it. He's not running away. I've wronged. And I was in error at that time. Musa al-Islam didn't put up his defense. See, a Nabi is sinless. Before Nubuwat and after Nubuwat, he's sinless. Now, how will you explain this, that Musa alayhi salam had defended himself, in the process that person got killed? Right. So Musa alayhi salam understood that the Bani Israel were oppressed. What he was doing, he was saving the person from oppression. In the process, the person died. So it wasn't his fault. Like if the police are called in, for example, there's a fighting carrying on. Right. And the police has asked to bring out some order, right? And they shoot. And one innocent person got killed. They won't hold the police responsible. Because they were bringing out some law and order. In the process, one innocent person got killed. It wasn't intended to kill. But how else are they going to bring about law and order? And the whole world uses it. Don't they use the word crossfire? He was caught in the crossfire. International, every country is using it. He was caught in the crossfire. So we are free of every guilt. So Musa alayhi salam tried to support the ends of justice. In the process, this person passed away. So it's no fault of his. But even then, Musa alayhi salam doesn't defend himself at that point. Because if he's going to defend himself at that point, then what impression is going to create, the impression that's going to be created is this: man is not accepting his mistake. That's the impression that. So he says, فَعَلْتُوَا إِذَوْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. I made a mistake. I stumbled at the time. As though he's acknowledging the mistake. He's understanding. He says, فَعَلْتُوَا إِذَوْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. Right. But the other thing that you are talking about, Firaun, then وَلَبِثْتَ فِينَا مِنْ عُمُرِكَ سِنِينَ, that then you lived with us for many years. You know, we gave you the royal treatment. That nobody in this whole country enjoys, you enjoy that type of treatment, and today you have turned around against us. So Musa alayhi salam had to answer this. It was important. We have blessed you with the royal treatment, and today you have turned around against us. What didn't we give you? You didn't have support, you didn't have a roof, you didn't have any type of refuge. What type of treatment we have given you? And today you have turned around against us. So Musa alayhi salam had to answer this. The reason why he had to answer this is that any normal person will consider this as a token of, as an indication of not appreciating. You're not grateful. You're not showing any gratitude. Any person will understand that this is showing no regards for the good, for the favor, and you're not showing any regards. So this becomes an impediment. It becomes an obstruction in the process of da'wat. So Musa al-Islam says, see, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَبَّتَّ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. This I have to answer this. But very shortly he answers it. He says, see, you people have enslaved the Bani Israel. You people have been slaughtering their children. Because of you slaughtering our children and enslaving the Bani Israel, then I had to take refuge in your house. And had you not enslaved them, and had you not slaughtered them, then I wouldn't have been at your home. You've been enslaving them. You've been slaughtering them. And this is what my mother had done. She had thrown me. فَلْيُلْقِي الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ. This is how it happened. So it's not because of your goodness. It's not because of your kindness. Don't create this misconception. Creating a misconception here. I've been taken care. Why? Because of your zulm, your tyranny, your oppression. Your oppression had broken all limits. Imagine innocent children are being born and you're softening them. But Musa said it with a lot of dignity and respect. You can see in all these words here. But if you don't caught on, this is what the man is saying. See, kings, the understanding is different. The understanding, you also make ishara kinaya, right? Al-aqilu takfil ishara. You have to give them the whole tafsir. See, Sulaiman alayhi salam is writing up to Bilqis. So in just two words, the whole message is given. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. Just two words. Don't show arrogance. Don't show an attitude. And just come in submission. But the message is ended. You see that the content of the letter. Oh dear Mr. Mrs. Sabah, how are you? Did you have a good breakfast this morning? What you had for lunch? No. Just straight to the point. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. See, now when you speak at that level, then you're going to be so direct. You're going to be, they don't listen to all the stories. What is the message? Give it to me, come direct. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. From Sulaiman alayhi salam to Bilqis, Allah ta'ala, don't show an attitude and come to me in submission. Surrender, accept Islam and come in submission. That's the end of the story. See the Nabi and the approach the Nabi adopts. So the Nabi will adopt these two principles. Bil hikmah. And I told you what is hikmah. Look at the person, circumstance, situation. Approaches can change from time to time. Now they said, for example, two gush must do, one in gush and out gush. Ain al-hadith. Where's the hadith for that? Can you ask? Can you ask for that? They understood now from their own experience that you do it in this way, it's manageable for people and you'll get some results. I said, well, every day, 3 hours, you must go and make gush. Say, bhai, this is too much for me. I can't manage it. I'll ask you, anybody can manage it. 3 days, you must go out and gush every 3 hours every day. Wonderful, excellent thing. But is it manageable? It's not just in gush and out gush. Now, it's a manageable thing. One is, it must be the right thing. And number two is, give it to him in a dosage that is manageable for him. You give him in such a big dosage, he can't manage it. Now the same thing will apply in a HIFS class. The child is learning, right, half a page. Now you come with half a sipara, then I'll take your sabak. I can't manage one page, you ask me to do half a sipara. That's what the child will say. So you give him in a dosage, he can manage easily. From 2 lines, 3 lines, 4 lines, 5 lines. Now he's taking 5 pages. But how gracefully, gradually you brought the child up. He's got a liking for the Quran Sharif. And otherwise you're going that way, you'll create a contempt. You'll breed contempt, dislike, and aversion. فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَوْ وَأَنَا مِنَ الظَّالِّينَ. You see this, Anbiya, at the style, how they worked. So, at every step, the da'i has to keep reflecting. And as you reflect, now the mystery, the secrets of this work will open out. But you have to keep doing it. Now, one is, like I say, it's an ordinary person, you'll ask him to keep to the 6 points. Because his mind can't work beyond that. And one is a person who can see beyond that. He understands, he's a man of knowledge, understanding. He can see in beyond it. So, every person will do according to what Allah Pak has blessed him. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. According to your understanding, you can do it as well. Some days back, one person is boarded a crowded bus. Muslim man, crowded bus he boarded, right? And the bus just took on, and man sees that a woman she's jumped onto the bus with her husband, right? And now it's crowded and she's going through some pains. She's in the family way and she's going through some pains. Now she's standing up, she can't sit. There's no place for her to sit. And nobody from all the Hindus that were there, nobody's offering her a place. So this Muslim man, perhaps he was a Jamaat, they showed him Ikram and all that, whatever it is. But now he thought, the Ikram here requires that I should respect this woman for the circumstance that she is in. And he got up and he seated her in his place. Now, outwardly, it seems to be a small gesture. That nobody, the whole crowd of Hindus, nobody had offered the seat in a crowded bus on a hot day, right? And this Muslim gentleman, right, he offered the seat on a sitya bed. And he began to talk to the husband, whatever, comforted the person. Man felt very comfortable, took the particulars, how normally people would do. Now, she was in the family way about to be delivering. Reaches the hospital, and as she walks into the hospital, and she just delivers. Now, how the custom has it, after she's delivered a day or so, then they allow the husband and the near family to come and visit. So the husband comes to see the child. The wife says, you know what, I'm so overwhelmed at the character, at the good behavior of this Muslim, that I vowed to my creator that I'm going to keep this child's name Muhammad after the person that helped me. You see how it touched the heart. That's Dawat again. Dawat in every respect. At that time the Dawat required that you display the right type of Islamic behavior. That was the requirement of Dawat. Now imagine that in the bus now, they are sitting there, and they are standing passengers, and he's seated there, and he's saying, you know, 6 points. The first point is Kalima, La ilaha illallah. I ask you, was that the right type of Dawat to give at that time? Although the message was right, but was that the right thing to do at that time? He's seated there, like Umar Palanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So now Muaz used to sit down and used to give a talk. So I'm going to sit down here and give him 6 points Dawat. Was that the right thing? So the right Dawat at that time was to get up from his place. He learned. He had some level of understanding. He got up from his seat, got the woman to sit down. So now she says to the husband, that, you know what, this comes to my heart. I vowed to my creator, I must keep him after that man, Muhammad. The husband says, I'm full on with you. I got no hesitation, no reservations. In the meanwhile, the man turned out to be a very influential person in his circle. Now he's coming home with a child. Everybody came to congratulate, like how we have bridal shower, and, I don't know, child shower, whatever showers, right? So they came for the shower. As they came for the shower, so he's addressing them, 100, 200 people, there were men, women, they got no parda. And he relates the whole story, and he declares his shahadat, Ashadu Allah, ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that I have accepted this faith, just on account of this good character, and I invite you as well. In one single voice, that whole crowd accepted Islam. See that Dawat now, as I say, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. And you won't blame this person in the Dawat, why aren't you showing this type of behavior? You won't ask, you won't tell him. Why you won't tell? Because his understanding is not so much. According to his understanding, he's doing what he's doing. You aren't even doing that much. See what he's doing and see what you are doing, right? See, to criticize, it's very easy. But you put yourself into that position, into that predicament, and see how you will work. I used to get this question coming on all the time, you know. Alhamdulillah, that question is not coming any longer. I said, you know, Tabligh Jamaat, they only work amongst the Muslims, you know. Why aren't they working amongst the non-Muslims? That's the actual Maidan, the non-Muslims, because they are going to Jahannam. These people are Muslims, they will go to Jannah eventually. But these people are going headlong to Jahannam, and they're not doing anything about that. So I read the whole letter, and after that I say, you know what, this is one Maidan, this is one field of work, and nobody has ever touched this, so I invite you to start this off. I invite you to start it off. These people here, they say, our hands are full. The little work they're doing, one day they're going to university, one day they're going to a club, everywhere they're going to do the Dawat, and their hands are so full, so they can't manage anything more. But this one here is untouched. So you start it off. Virgin active. It's like a virgin. You start it off. Be active. Start it off. The whole correspondence just dies. Because our whole mindset is criticize. Run them down. Whoever is doing any work, run him down. Rather than recognizing the work, run the person down. As though I'll be the champion. You're not proactive. You're not creative. You're not doing anything. What are you doing? So sometimes you have to give them that type of a treatment. But Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah says that in spite of all the efforts that have been done, right, whether it's in the Dawat, whether in the Jamaat, whether in the Madrasa, wherever, in the Khanqah, wherever, But why is it that the production is so low? So much of work, but the production is so low. What is the reason? So he says, in my understanding, Allah gave him a lot of life, a lot of experience. He went Arab countries, everywhere he went. So the experience was quite broad. He'd seen quite a bit. And he was very composed and calm. So if he comes to some conclusion, it won't be immature. It'll be a very immature conclusion that he comes up with. He says, basically, I feel it's two reasons. That I don't see the production so great. The one is, he says, the abundance of haram. Abundance of haram and corruption. So much of corruption, so much haram. Every second person you talk to, he's involved in something haram, in his business, in his work, in his operation. Some haram or the other. Some more or some less. Some interest, some financing, some insurance, something or the other. Something he's doing that is not right. So this, an abundance of haram, so much of haram. On account of the abundance of haram, what has happened, he says, according to the hadith, the hearts have been reversed. Like, look at a container. The container is upside down. It's reversed, right? Now, whatever is being said, the heart is not taking on. There's no place for the heart to take on. And my example, how I work it out, that heart is reversed, right? Now, to turn it around is such a big effort. So that's why you'll find the Jamaat, they're working on one person, and they have to make 50 mulakas to make him a musalli. What do you see that? Today, tomorrow, third day, fourth day, take him out for 3 days, 4 days, 40 days. Eventually, after 50 mulakas, the person comes on right. So that reversing, he's reversed, and to bring him right, it takes so much of it. Anyway, next time, we'll explain the second point.